Man, that's going to be great. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be one of the best five-week blocks you've ever had around CrossFit. I hope you're getting ready for it because, man, I'm really looking forward. Before I get into what I'm going to talk about today, I just want to just remind us, those of us who got emails, because you're really engaged around here financially, and we're thankful for that. I just want to remind you, we have a family meeting this Wednesday night, and I look forward to sharing some stuff with you and seeing you then. I think there's just really good stuff for us to see and be aware of, and we're on a good journey right now. And I want to pray before I do anything else and talk about the things that I'm pretty fired up about today. So let's pray right now. God, thank you for this time right now. We could be other places doing other things, but we're here right now. I think everyone is here and listening because we want more of life. We want to feel more life, and we're wondering what that means for you to be more in our life. So help me to be clear today, to be helpful, and most importantly, to be in alignment with your truth. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. Well, today I want to get you to a new place. Who wants to go to a new place today? Anybody? Anybody? Yes. Okay. Today I want to get you to a new place in your spiritual growth. And we have to wonder, notice that all of us have two competing desires. As Carl Sandburg said, the great American writer, see, some days I want to soar like an eagle, and other days I just want to lie in the mud like a hippopotamus. And this is the way we are. We just kind of want to sit around, and oftentimes spiritual growth gets pawned off as something where you sit and you meditate and you reflect and you think. And I'm all for sitting, reflecting, meditating, and thinking. I am. I'm all for that. I'm all for those hippopotamus behaviors. But I'm also all for understanding that this often happens right after we've pushed and we've soared. This often happens right before we push and we soar. To get to a new place. It's going to be a dream message for me today. Classic preacher message. I got 4 points. They all start with the same letter. Yeah, the letter V. That's some good stuff right there. All start with the letter V. This is going to be about pushing to enable us to spiritually grow. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to listen to what the metaphors are for spiritual growth. I'm not going to unpack this verse entirely, but just look at what the metaphors are. Here it goes. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules, and it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Soldier, athlete, farmer. These are very rigorous, engaged metaphors. It's not poet, philosopher, thinker. While I love poets, philosophers, and thinkers, there's a place for that, but the dominant metaphor for getting ahead spiritually in a new place in the Bible are things like athletes who train, soldiers who kill, hardworking farmers who sweat and cut and bleed. These are very rigorous metaphors, and I really think that maybe the reason why many of us are a bit frustrated with why I don't feel God, or why my faith has challenges, or why I feel stagnant, is we're too hippopotamus-like. We're too thinking-like. Even we even call it, are you a believer? Like a believer, like thinking, philosophizing. No, it's about doing, it's about pushing, it's about getting to a new place. To ascend to a new place, to elevate, to fly to a new place, means that you will have to go through excruciating difficulty. Means that you will have to sweat. It means that you will have things that are rough and just cause you to hang on. A key moment in my life where this came to fruition for me was in 2013. I shared this story way back when. Many of us haven't heard or we've forgotten. I'll give you a little briefer synopsis of it. I was on a bike trip with some friends of mine. We went from the bottom of Colorado to the top of Colorado, all on dirt, and we camped the whole way. And we made better time than we thought we would. We get to the very end of Colorado. We realize, my gosh, we still got another day left. Let's just keep going. Let's go up into Wyoming. So we head up into Wyoming. We get on this dirt path in this national forest. And we look at this, at the map, we see this little blue dot. It means there's a body of water there, which is a great place to camp wherever there's water. And we said, let's go there. What we didn't know was from where we were to where that was, even though it was just like this much space on a map and was only a few miles, I think 6 miles or something like that, it was the most difficult riding that we had done that entire trip. In fact, this would be the most difficult riding I would have done in my entire life up to that point. Now, everyone has a different opinion and interpretation and memory of what happened next, but I have the microphone, so I'm going to give you my opinion and my memory. As we went to Phantom Lake, the very end of it was a very, very steep, rocky incline. I found this all the time. The best views always come after the roughest inclines. The best, most fulfilling campsites oftentimes come when you ask yourself, what in the heck are we doing here? We can't be doing this here. And we got in this last stretch. It was very steep. It was very rocky. These loose rocks. And I'm bouncing around. And I'm trying to lead guys up there. I get up there and I turn around. And there's virtually no one there. And we basically chose to stay down at the bottom of this pass. And we camped there. And it was a very tumultuous, very, very tense time. My memory and my application of it, as I was coming down that pass, I thought, you know, this is really symbolic for my life right now. There's some things that I want to do that are new. There's some things that I feel, God, that you're asking me to do, and many people who I'm doing life with right now don't want to do the climb. Many people I'm dealing with would rather be hippopotamus. I didn't think this because I didn't know that quote until I was preparing for this message. Would rather be hippopotamuses than eagles. And I sense God prompts me saying, hey, man, if you want to climb, you just need to tell people who you're with, you need to you're going to climb whether they're with you or not. Like, I'll do that. So I came back and I started having conversations with people and casting vision. And what do you know? There's a lot of people who just I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. And really, really good people, love God, and just really good. And I still have a relationship with many of them. But I just like, hey, we're going to go on a push here because up to that point, like 2011, 2012, 2013, Crossroads really hadn't grown at all. We had some good stuff going on, but we were stagnant. We were like in a plane for multiple years, which means no new people were experiencing God, which means we were having a lot of discussion about how to just keep things sane, how to keep things okay, and how to have staff be happy and all these kind of things. These are not why we started doing what we're doing here, right? So I just kind of came back and like, that, hey, I'm going to Phantom Lake, whether you're coming out, I'm going. And what do you know? My goodness. What I looked at things in the last several years, what's happened from 2013 when we as a church were stagnant for 3 years, what happened from there to here? I had to write them down. I'll just read some to you really quickly. Crossroads West Side has opened since then. Mason moved into a new building. Crossroads Uptown happened. Crossroads Central Kentucky, our merger adoption happened, took place. Crossroads Oxford took place. Crossroads East Side opened. We had a Compassion International weekend and took 6,000 kids. Every kid that Compassion International had in Nicaragua, not just our Central Kentucky churches in Bolivia, but every kid in Nicaragua was available. We scooped them all up in 1 week. And we're still feeding and educating those kids this day. You can clap and be happy at any one of these things if you want, by the way. 600,000 meals shipped to South Africa. We had 600,000 meals shipped to South Africa. We had a campaign called I'm In, 83% fulfilled. Good job. We had others, folks, who are still engaging and fulfilling their obsessed journey at 23%, still pushing. Crazy stuff that's happening there. We took Awaited, a church show, a nice show, and Leaders in the Arts in Cincinnati said, hey, we'd like to play that in the Aronoff. Would you use that at the Aronoff? My gosh, to be able to have the elite performance center in the entire tri-state area saying, we want your thing here, because that is amazing, amazing. That is new, rocky territory. We've had probably about, as best I can estimate, 5,000 people baptized since 2013. We bought 435 acres of camps. We had 15,000 people go through man camp, 10,000 through women camp. We have couples camp, college camp, veterans camp, father-son camp, disabled dog camp. I mean, just all of them. I'm kidding there. No, we don't have this. Some of you are going, disabled dog camp? I would go to that one. No, we don't. No, no, not that one. We don't have that one. By the way, camps for this fall, registration closes soon. So if you want to get in on the on couples camp, college camp, man camp, registration shuts down in a week or so. So get on it. Now, that's just some of, all that represents great stuff, mountaintops. I'll tell you what, grueling, backbreaking work. Utterly grueling backbreaking. And that's just, for me, on my professional side. That's not my personal side. My goodness, the things God has done in the last few years on my personal side is nutso. We've had 32 years of marriage, and this last year, it was the hardest year of marriage we've ever had. First year of marriage was awful. Seventh year of marriage, there's a seven-year itch. It was difficult. Those things pale in comparison to how tough our 32nd year was. I can't go into all of it. I'm just telling you, man, it has been a steep, rocky climb, and we are greater now, Lib and I, than we have ever been. The view is fantastic, but it's only because we said, oh my gosh, marriage is supposed to be hard, isn't it? Oh my gosh, God, maybe God is using marriage to spiritually form us more than he is wanting to give us a beautiful Hallmark card. Maybe the difficulty God wants you to go after is purely because he's going to grow you in the midst of that difficulty. We've had, in the last few years, we had two kids married off, two amazing spouses come into our life, new in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law thing, amazing, amazing. I've become a grandparent. I'm not even taking Metamucil yet, but I'm a grandparent. My goodness. Jeez, wrote Five Marks for Man that's taken off as a book. I got another devotional that's coming out this next in a couple months. And all this to say, these things sound really good, like, whoo, great. But man, it is a slog. It is an utterly difficult climb up a rocky mountain. They've been taxing and rewarding, frustrating and fulfilling, difficult and dynamic. That's what spiritual growth is like. That's what it's like. Now, in a little bit, I'm going to give you a little snippet of another upward climb that we have that we've had, and I'm going to give you a little snippet of a video project that we asked all of you about a year and a half ago. Hey, we're going to do this like motorcycle bike trip thing, and we're going to film. If you'd like to come, apply. We had a bunch of people apply. I'm going to show you a little short snippet of it today. It's going to be 11 minutes long. It's actually going to be a seven-part series. We're trying to get it on a streaming platform in January. But for the purposes of today, I want to use 11 minutes of it. It's going to really articulate and highlight some of the four things I'm going to give you today. Number one is vision. If you want to get to a new place, you need to have vision. Jesus gives us a vision of what spiritual growth is going to look like. When in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So Jesus says, if you want to be like the masses, if you want to have a spirituality like the masses, which is entirely comfort-based, you are on the wide highway. Why is the highway wide and smooth? It's because the masses go there. And because it needs to be simple and it needs to be comfortable for the masses. I mean, think about that. When you're in a car, it's like it's pretty. But you get off on dirt, on rock, especially if you get off on two wheels, you start bouncing all over the place and you start modeling the life of Jesus. Because Jesus, if you want to be where Jesus is, he's on the narrow, difficult path. He's not on the wide path that everyone loves and is easy. He's on the narrow, difficult path. It's the path that leads to true life. We need to have vision. What kind of vision do you have? Is there a place that you're going that requires difficulty? If not, it's not vision, it's a daydream. Is there a place where you can see in your mind that you can't be there right now, you can't handle it right now, you don't have it right now, but you'll want it? and you're working at it. If so, that's vision. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. When we don't have vision, a picture, knowledge of where we're going, we end up having lifeless lives stuck in the mud, not feeling the rigor of a full walk with Jesus. Forbes.com some time ago said this, in truth, a visionary is not just a normal person who invests the time to create and communicate a forward-looking shared meaning. That's all he is. He or she invests the time to create a forward shared meaning. It's not this amazing idea no one's ever thought of, whoa, she's a visionary. No, it's I see where I want to go, and I'm trying to collect the energy of others to go in that place. And when we have that vision, it's always going to take vigor. That's point two, vigor. Starts with vision, goes with, the fact that we don't have it and we haven't seen it with our own eyeballs, the reason why we don't have it, haven't seen our eyeballs, is because it's gonna be difficult. If it was gonna be easy and be handed to us, then we would have it right now. Vision always requires vigor. It requires sweat. It requires sacrifice. It requires pain. I don't know where we ever got this idea. The closer I get with God, the easier my life is going to be. Not true. The closer I get with God, the more vision he gives me. The closer I get to God, the more I see I want to be where he's going. He's going in the narrow path. He's going to a difficult place. It is fulfilling. There is joy. There can be a sense of peace and joy. But coming to Jesus to escape difficulty never works. Never works. Never has worked. Never will work. Every biblical hero that we know of in the Bible is a hero because of the difficulty they went through. Every inspirational story that's in the Bible and recorded in the Bible is there because it was difficulty. That's why it's inspirational. A guy building a boat out of his own hands, Noah. Prophets standing against the tide and saying things no one wanted to hear. Jesus doing things that no one had seen before. His followers getting on boats and getting shipwrecked, going all over the place, going on massive, massive adventures to let people know who he was. That was crazy and amazing. I believe that there are things that we do physically that prepare us for things spiritually. I believe if you don't want to do difficult things physically, you won't do difficult things spiritually. I believe if you don't get to a new place physically, it's because you haven't been doing difficult things physically. And if you can't get to a new place spiritually, it's because you haven't been doing difficult things spiritually. They mesh up. So we took this trip of a bunch of new riders because the idea was just that. If we can get people to do something that's very difficult physical, this might prepare them for the real adventure in their life. The real adventure of our life is not the mountain climbing trip. It's not the motorcycle trip. It's not the rafting trip. Those are great. Those are wonderful moments of play that we'll talk about in the next series. But what really happens are those things enable me to be about the real adventure of my life, which might be starting a business, kicking an addiction, getting married, having a kid, keeping a marriage together, losing 50 pounds. Those are the real adventures. The ones that really matter, understanding how God wants to take over my life. So I want you to watch, and then this little 11-minute snippet, watch for just here where you see the first two points of vision and vigor.
Across the rugged terrain of Colorado and Wyoming, 10 unlikely riders pursue an elusive mountaintop destination called Phantom Lake. Among them are a single grad student.
It's just me and Alexa. Alexa can't give me a hug.
A photographer and tinkerer.
This is pretty sweet. If you don't have a pair of these, you need to get them.
An adventure-starved accountant.
I'm domesticated. I need an adventure, please.
A second career jazz singer.
This really is real. This is really happening.
A college student.
This is my valid motorcycle's license, in case you were wondering.
A multi-business entrepreneur.
As far as my off-roading experience, there's a first time for everything.
Take that, Rockies!
A semi-retired lobbyist.
You gotta keep that smile. Oh, yeah!
A quiet engineer.
Hopefully I make some
more close friends on this trip coming up.
And a diligent young father.
I have a fear of heights. I overcome that fear.
Longtime pastor, adventurer, and father figure Brian Tome will lead the way.
Jesus tells a story about God. He says what God does is he gives different.
To make it to the end, they must overcome mental fatigue, physical fatigue, and even the landscape itself. Will these riders have the determination, stamina, and courage to make it to the end?
I wake up every day and I say to God, God, whatever you got going on today, I want to be a part of it. We're going to do something really unorthodox, taking inexperienced riders on this trip. You've got to be in a situation that's foreign to what you're used to. New riders are going to be challenged. I have this feeling that everyone has an adventure that they're on. I want to see real people in the real world with real life adventures learn how to conquer them. That's why I want to do this trip with people who need it. We're not in a difficult position. We don't grow the way we could grow. I learn when things are difficult. I learn when I get smacked in the mouth. I learn when I fall down. I don't want to fail because I didn't try hard enough. Some people would say, well, you're a pastor. Shouldn't you just be doing Bible studies? I'm about making real men and women stronger, and this is a way that I found that does it.
If there's anything that you can do to help yourself, it's to teach yourself not to be freaked when your bike bounces. It's a lot of rocks. They're called baby heads. A lot of baby heads up there. Your bike is going to be jumping around. That feeling that you feel on pavement where everything's planted or even on gravel, that feeling's gone. You and your bike will go where you look. It's the weirdest thing. You need to make sure you are looking 30 feet in front of where you're going. 30 feet. You were never this. Never. This never helps you. Momentum is your friend. You start to go, throttle helps you. Throttle helps you. Start to spin, throttle. If you go down, you go down. You're not going to get hurt going 10 miles an hour. You're not going to get hurt. You're not. But if you can get up this somehow, some way, it's a good omen for the rest of your trip.
It's important to point out here that we're about to do our first big pass, and these guys haven't even had a chance to ride on basic flat dirt.
I don't have any off-road experience at all. But what I do have, and what I do have to offer, is a willingness to learn.
I'm down, but okay.
All right, Thomas, I'm gonna keep going. Tommy's down.
He passed him? He didn't stop and help him?
I have any off-road experience? Yes, I do, actually. You know, with a non-motorized cycle.
Oh, shoot.
Good, Randy.
Woo!
Oh.
I was stopping for Tommy.
I thought you were about to die right there, man.
I almost went over that edge.
Zach doesn't have a lot of skill, but he's got the confidence to just stay behind me and get to the top.
Oh, get up, back up on this beast, Moto. Darn it, I'm down.
Chuck's down.
Ready?
Get going, I'm down. Those rocks are, I bottomed out.
Okay.
You ready?
You got it.
Be brave, have fun, do your best.
You got it.
He's going.
Come on, Husky, get up on that.
Ready? Sorry about that, man.
What are you apologizing for?
Because I just held all you guys up.
Don't worry about it. Just get your ass to the top.
Cool. Thanks for the help. All righty. The worst part was when I would
I was a little afraid of the right-hand lane, just because it was closer to the cliff, but it was a clearer path for sure.
Zach was really a pleasant surprise here. Zach has had very little motorcycle experience, very little off-road experience, and what do you know, he got up the hill.
Well, here's some baby heads.
To get people up a mountain, you have to push. Don't give up. Let's go. You've got to be that stern and have an attitude of believing in that person and calling them to a place where they might not even want to go themselves. But you can only challenge them in as far as you previously encouraged them and built into them.
You need to tell those guys, when they get to those guys who are down, Calvary's not coming for them. They got to freaking figure it out.
We've had some difficulties on this trip, but this is where it gets genuinely difficult.
Like something's going to take care of itself. No, it's not. They got to push their freaking bikes. Those guys just sitting in the ground defeated. We're not going to do anything. This is not luxury trip.
You got it.
This pass stands at 11,700 feet above sea level. There's not much oxygen out here, and the bikes weigh between 450 and 650 pounds fully loaded. You're on a slippery terrain in an incredibly steep grade. You're in protective riding gear, which is hot and limits mobility. This is way more difficult than it looks on video.
Keep going.
Picking up a motorcycle on a trail like this is like trying to pick up a piano in a spacesuit on the side of a mountain after sprinting a mile.
So I have Chuck's bike down, Dave's bike down. Randy is with the stop, and John went down. Tommy went down. So they're working on getting everybody up.
Okay, am I needed down there? Do you need me to come down there?
I think these guys could use your challenge and your coaching.
Okay, all right. I'll keep my chewing and come down there.
I work out, but this is beyond a workout. This is some real live bullshiggity.
It's easy to lose control if you're not paying attention. But even as I was paying attention, looking where I wanted to go, and when I was down, I was reassessing, what in the hell did I get myself into?
All right, what do we got going? We got you three. I'll stay down here with other guys to help push and start. So we'll all go up with Chuck if he needs a help getting push started.
Problems come up all the time when you're adventure riding, and you gotta figure it out. You can't call in the cavalry to come and save you, you gotta figure it out.
One, two, up. Okay, pulling the clutch, drift it back a little bit. Bike's not gonna go down. Right there, good. Oh, okay. Let's get him straightened up. Hold the bike, got the bike. I'm gonna walk the bike, just get straight here. Give it more gas, and that's it. You gotta give it a lot of gas. More, there we go. Yeah.
I had to make a decision to turn around. The guys were just not able to keep going, and sometimes retreat is the best option.
How much gas I'm giving that so it doesn't stall?
I'm kind of being looked at as a villain right now with some of these guys. I'm looked at as maybe, you know, a little heartless or something like that with some of them. That's what it looks like to lead. You're taking people where they don't want to go.
You have to go. You cannot creep. You've got to get speed, and you got to get down.
It's not fun being seen as, I don't know, somewhat heartless.
You got up this far. Going down is twice as easy as coming up.
Gotcha.
Twice as easy.
Heard that before.
Thanks, man. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. It's all worth it. Okay, I'm ready whenever you are.
I'm ready, okay.
That's it. Pump those brakes. That's it. Okay, here we go. It's not that fast. There you go. Brake, you're good. Perfect. Perfect. That's exactly right. Sometimes you got to get a little kick in the ass. You know, you cannot take everything conservative in life. You can't just like, oh, I'm going to creep it. You've got to go.
That's it. Brakes, brakes. Good, good. That's a man right there who just grew in his confidence. You grow in your confidence on this stuff, man, when you're in the real world, you just got something extra. It's a guy who's not as good of a rider as you, who has more fear than you. And he got over it.
I'm good.
Okay. Back brake. Brake when you go down and, you know, pump your front.
Pretty certain at the end they'll be thankful for the push, and I want them to get to a new place.
Brakes, brakes, good, 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 good. Very good. Think pretty interesting, huh? Well, you can just see from my face, I have more bags under my eyes than Kroger has bags at the checkout. I mean, it was incredibly grueling. It was the hardest bike thing I've ever done, but I'm really thankful for how the folks came to new places. It was really, really neat. By the way, like I said, we'll have the full thing being someplace in January. Meanwhile, I have a thing called briantome.com where I give teachings that don't make it on stage and articles and stuff like that. If you want to subscribe to that, you can go to briantome.com. I'm going to release another episode of that on Monday. So if you're interested in that and you want to see that kind of stuff, go ahead and check that out. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong. Why would you have to be strong unless things are going to be hard? No one has to be strong binging Netflix. You have to be strong because there's a narrow path that's going to elevation, which is where Jesus is, and it's going to be difficult. And we're surprised when things are difficult. I'm surprised that we're surprised. It's called spiritual growth. That's why we're to be strong. I've been doing less motorcycling recently, and one of my elements of play has been camping with my wife. We've been doing a little what's called overlanding, which basically means you put a tent up on top of your truck. And so we went out to Colorado last week with some friends of ours, did a little couples thing, and it was great. It was just great being with them. Beautiful scenes, beautiful stuff. And you know what we keep talking about? We keep talking about this thing called Imogene Pass. It's the hardest pass I've ever been on, whether on a motorcycle or on a vehicle. I did not get good intel on this at all. It was terrifying. Terrifying and death-defying. Pictures can't even show it. We were shocked that we got through the thing. We got through the thing, and we're two things were said. One is, I'll never do that again. That was really stupid. I'll never do that again. And the second thing is, that's all we talked about since. People say, hey, how was your trip out in Colorado with couples? We did Imogene Pass. Oh, it was awful. Oh, it was awesome. All we talk about was the difficulty. All we talk about was the challenge. We never say, hey, remember that one day we just sat around the pool and hung out? Remember that? No, we don't remember those days. Hey, you remember that time when everything went according to plan? You remember that? No, we don't remember that. There's nothing memorable. It's the difficult things that we remember. Came back from that trip, and I'm in the airport getting ready to come back, and I flew a buddy out who was going to drive my truck back so I could do some other stuff back with my normal work life. And I get in the airport, I'm looking at my phone, my email. I'm like, oh my gosh, that family is in deep, deep doo-doo. And the email that I'm on says, hey, we're going to fast and pray for this family. We're going to not have food all day. And whenever we're just going to pray and not have food, tell God that we're serious about this. Whenever I get like a challenge like that, I'm never like, great, I love to fast. I love not having food and praying instead. I never, ever. I never am excited about that ever. I'm never excited when I get a check. Like, great, the first 10% goes to my local church, goes to God, because that's tithing. Woo, I love it. I never feel that way. I never do. In fact, anything that grows me on the front end, I'm never excited about it. I never am. And this one's like, oh my gosh, really? Like, oh, I love this family too much. I'm in. And what do you know? Fasted the next day and felt closer to God than I would have had I done normal eating as normal. It's always the way it is, friends. The narrow path that's steep, it's rocky, it's where Jesus is. And why we think that we can have comfortable lives avoiding any difficulty and have Jesus blows my mind, because nowhere is that said in the Bible and nowhere is that modeled anywhere in anybody's life who I want to be like. The people who inspire us are the people who are inspiring because of what they pressed through, what they climbed, what they overcame. And this is how spiritual growth works. Third thing is velocity. Velocity. Once we have a vision of where we want to go and we summon the vigor to fight through it, we've got to get some speed. If you notice from that clip, folks were having a hard time because the dynamics of riding a motorcycle on dirt and stone is really different than the dynamics of riding it on pavement. Same with a car. You know, you're on pavement, everything is just planted. If it swerves at all, you're freaked out because it's very, very rare. But when you're on dirt or when you're on rock, things are bouncing around and you're swerving, you're feeling immobile or whatever the right word is all the time, going back and forth. And the temptation is to just slow down. Let's just slow down and put my tiptoes out and just creep down this mountain. And when that happens, you never win because the rocks are in control and you can't get over the rocks, and rocks will force you to go somewhere and you can't recover. You have to get speed to plow through the rocks or even maybe be riding on top of the rocks. That's a physical metaphor for the way that the spiritual life is. We can't just sit around and philosophize. We can't sit around and just hone our beliefs. We can't sit around and have planning sessions. We can't sit around and just have endless discussions over whatever theology you might have or not have. And there's a place for theology and sitting around for sure. But you have to get velocity. You have to get moving. You can't just sit and think and ponder and listen. If the highlight of your week spiritually is sitting on your rear end and listen to me, you have a crappy week ahead of you. Not just because I might have given you a crappy week, but because this isn't spiritual growth right here. This is getting stuff that might get you moving. Until you get moving and changing things in life, getting some speed with things that you don't want to do or you think that are weird, until that happens, you're not on the narrow path where Jesus is. You're with the masses that are addicted to comfort, that are addicted to predictability. James 1, verse 2 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." Doing. We get ahead by doing, not by hearing, not by thinking, not by listening, by doing. And what we want, what all of us want, at least what I want, is victory. You want to get to that place where you've conquered. You get to that place where you've gone to the next level. Get to that place where you understand God more deeply and in a much more fulfilling way. You get to that place where you know that you've progressed, where you're more like Him, where you're closer to Him, where the thing that was the real adventure, the divorce, the addiction, the weight loss, the GED, the whatever, then that thing, when you run over that with some vigor and with some velocity, you get going to a new place because you know God brought you there and you experienced it with Him. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's Him who's on the path with us, who's drawing us there. That's where the victory is. "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the thoughts of the Lord." Oh, no, it doesn't say that. "Always give yourself fully to the values of the Lord." It doesn't say that. "Always give yourselves fully to the philosophy of the church." It doesn't say that. "Always give yourself fully to the beliefs you learn in Sunday school." No, it doesn't say that. "Always give yourself fully to the work, the vigorous work, the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." When you get on a path with the vision that God has given you, it never ends in vain. At least ultimately never does. Now, I've gone up a lot of stony paths, and I've gotten to the top, and it hasn't been worth it. Because sometimes you get to the top of a mountain and the clouds are so thick you can't see. Sometimes you get up there and there's bugs all over the place. Sometimes you get up there and you're just so tired you got to get back down. Mountaintop experience. Sometimes you get up there and you realize it's a false summit. It's blocking the next one that's up there. I mean, there's a lot of things that we will do and God, where God is, that when you're done with it, it won't be fulfilling in that moment. But ultimately, I believe he's using it to build awareness, to build spiritual muscle, to build our reps to get to the next place. Ultimately, we learn to lean into Jesus more. Ultimately, we got on the path that all the greats in history have been on. This is victory. This is victory. Now, the application I want you to do coming out of here today is next week, one of the greatest things you could ever be a part of, and I mean that seriously, is this plan purpose journey. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Three things you might want to think about doing. One, asking a friend. That is a difficult thing. Putting your faith out there and saying, telling you can trust us on this. It's going to be great. Even play. Many of us, we need to be challenged because you're not playing. And that will be a huge, huge challenge for you, but it's play. There's going to be some really playful things. It's going to be really, really good. Some of us, purpose is our thing. We're going to help you in that area. These things need to come together. We're going to help you come together in this journey. Join a group. Get ready to join a group. We need to be around other people doing the journey or lead a group. You can go to crossroads.net/whatever it is. It's on the lower third. It's going to be really big and really important. You're going to be thankful for it. Let me pray for you right now. God, I thank you for this truth you've given us, and I thank you for the message you have given us and for the things you're going to do in our church and everybody else's life who's a part of the plan purpose journey. Help us to embrace it, to embrace adventure, to embrace difficulty, and to embrace you and to feel you in the midst of this season. I pray these things according to the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.